Today's text comes from Colossians chapter 4, verses 5 and 6. Today we will continue to look at the final exhortations of Apostle Paul to the Colossians. Apostle Paul, who commanded us to pray, now tells us in today's text how we believers should live toward outsiders and how to have proper relationship with them. All these exhortations tell us how believers should testify of Christ through our lives. In particular, today's text tells us about the relationship between the heavenly people and the worldly people, and teaches us how we should treat them while we live in this world. We can see this as a word that tells us about a life of evangelism or a life of a witness of Jesus Christ. Finally, God commands the church to live a life of witness along with prayer. Today and next Lord's Day, we will focus on verse 5, and then following Lord's Day, we will look at verse 6. Verse 5 says, "Walk in wisdom toward outsiders, making the best use of the time." Then, verse 6 tells us what we should say to those outsiders. Verse 6, "Let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how you ought to answer each person." Then, the first thing we need to look at is who the outsider that Apostle Paul is talking about is. Who are the outsiders to you? Are we talking about those far away from us, not in a close relationship with us, that we don't know very well, or that we don't want to be with? That's not the case here. The outsiders that the Apostle Paul or the Bible refers to are not just those who are far away in our physical and worldly relationships, but those who are far away in our spiritual relationship. That is, those who are far away from God and His kingdom where we belong. All non-believers who have no relationship with God and live outside the kingdom of God are outsiders. We were all outsiders before. Ephesians chapter 2 verses 12 and 13. "Remember that you were at that time separated from Christ, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ." How are outsiders referred to in this verse? Outsiders are those foreigners or strangers who are separated from Christ, alienated from the covenant of promise, outside the kkingdom of God, without the hope of heaven, and who are ultimately judged and go to hell. Therefore, outsiders are not those who are far away physically or worldly. They are near us, our parents, children, brothers and sisters, friends and relatives, and the co-workers we work with every day who do not believe in Jesus are all outsiders. In other words, all the non-believers with whom we are in relationship and fellowship are outsiders. Paul tells us to walk with wisdom and make the best use of our time toward those outsiders. In other words, he commands us to use every opportunity and react with wisdom toward them. And in verse 6, he commands us to speak with wisdom. As we will soon see, the wisdom that Apostle Paul talks about is Jesus Christ, the mystery of the gospel. It means testifying about Jesus and making him known by acting and speaking wisely. Here is an important truth that we must realize about how God divides the world. The standard by which we divide the world is different from the standard by which God divides the world. In this world, we create various categories based on physical and worldly standards, and we want to live within those categories and find our identity there. We keep dividing people by educational background, wealth, appearance, personality, and other areas such as nationality, hometown, interests, etc., and try to boast about ourselves by belonging to them. However, these distinctions are not permanent or true distinctions. It is a distinction that will disappear after a while and finally by death. It is very foolish to try to find our true identity and boast only about this. We must live according to God's distinction. God divides this world into only two categories, those on the inside and those on the outside. But how big is the difference between these two categories? It is a distinction into eternal reality. It is the difference between life and death, heaven and hell. We must correctly discover and live by faith where we belong according to God's distinction. Are we inside or outside? First, how was the distinction between those on the inside and those on the outside evidenced in the Old Testament? Jews and Gentiles. That is, those within Israel, which was the kingdom of God in the Old Testament, and those outside Israel. Those who are in God's covenant and those who are outside the covenant. The circumcised and the uncircumcised. Those who have received the law and those who have not received the law. However, the Old Testament was always at the level of types and shadows. In other words, it was a level of distinction that would disappear for a while in the redemptive history. But there was an eternal true distinction that the distinction pointed to. God has made this known from the beginning. Genesis chapter 3 verse 15. I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and her offspring. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. After Adam and Eve sinned, God did not immediately send them to eternal punishment, but gave them the promise of salvation. He promises to send the woman's descendant as the Savior in the future, and divides all human beings who will be born in the future into two categories in the Savior. That is, those who belong to the woman's descendant and those who belong to Satan. The woman's descendant pointed to Jesus Christ to come. In other words, from the beginning, God distinguished between those who are in Christ and those who are outside of Christ. Even before creating all things, from eternity, God has made this distinction. In Ephesians chapter 1, some were chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world, and some were not. That reality appeared as a type and shadow in the Old Testament as a distinction between Jews and Gentiles. And now, after the coming of Jesus, there is a division into those who believe in Jesus and are saved and belong to Jesus and those who do not believe in Jesus and live outside of him. Those who belong to heaven, the kingdom of Jesus, and those who belong to this world and the judgment of hell. This is the eternal distinction of God. We must distinguish as God distinguishes. We must discover our life within it. There is no distinction more true and permanent than this. You can either have a proper relationship with Jesus and live in heaven, or you can have no relationship with Jesus and belong to this world and ultimately be condemned to hell. There is no middle ground. When Jesus came, he completely divided this world into two, and this distinction will be fully revealed when Jesus comes again. Matthew chapter 25 verses 31 through 34, verse 41, 30, and 46. When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, then he will sit on his glorious throne. Before him will be gathered all nations, and he will separate people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will place the sheep on his right, but the goats on the left. Then the king will say to those on his right, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." Then he will say to those on his left, Depart from me, you cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for devil and his angels, and cast the worthless servant into the outer darkness. In that place, there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth, and these will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. Dear saints, we were once hopeless and miserable sinners who lived outside of Christ and had to go to the eternal punishment of hell. However, only through Christ's grace of seeking and saving, we now belong to God and heaven for eternity. Philippians chapter 4 verse 20 says clearly that our citizenship is in heaven in Christ. Even now, we can boldly confess that we are citizens of heaven. Even now, we live enjoying the blessings of heaven. We should be most joyful and grateful for this reality. However, around us, some people live as outsiders, but have been chosen by God and destined to belong to Jesus and heaven. We don't know who they are yet. That is why while we live on this earth, we are told to use every opportunity to act with wisdom toward those outsiders around us, because God is pleased to save His chosen people through us. Of course, everything can be achieved through God's sovereign grace and power. God will not lose any of His people, but will seek and save them all. But He is pleased to accomplish this through us. Although we were saved only by God's grace and power, didn't we also come to believe in Jesus through the saints who believed before us? Hasn't someone told us the gospel and guided us to Christ? Didn't someone pray for us? So should we. When Jesus seeks and saves His lost people, He now wants to do so through us, whom He sought and saved first. In other words, He calls us to participate in His life. He calls us to be the sons of God like Himself. Now, He is calling us to embrace His heart and to live a life of seeking and saving like Him. Hebrews chapter 2 verse 11 says that Jesus was not ashamed to call us brothers. He came to this earth as a man according to the good pleasure of God the Father and walked all His life with wisdom toward those outsiders, including us, until He went all the way to the cross. He sought and saved us, and we are also called to this life of Jesus. This is the life of evangelism Paul is talking about. Whether it is the life of prayer commanded in Colossians chapter 4, verses 2 through 4, or the life of evangelism commanded in verses 5 and 6, Jesus invites us to participate in His life so that we can live as sons who testify of Him. In particular, God the Father's yearning heart for His lost sons calls us to testify the gospel to outsiders, and He wants us to participate in the joy of heaven with God the Father and Jesus. This is our calling on this earth, so we must first remember Jesus, who acted with wisdom toward us sinners who are strangers on this earth, and saved us even to the point of sacrificing His life. But what kind of people were we to Jesus when He acted with wisdom toward us and saved us? Ephesians chapter 2 verses 1 through 3. And you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, like the rest of mankind. We were all enemies of God who opposed Jesus because of our sins and transgressions. We were the objects of God's infinite wrath. In other words, we were not those who deserved God's mercy. However, Jesus had these sinners in his heart and loved us until he took the burden of our sins and went to the cross to receive the judgment of infinite wrath that we deserve. How far should the outsiders be extended to, whom we must act in wisdom and use every opportunity to lead them to Jesus? It's not just those who are close to me and have a relationship with me. This is true even when looking at redemptive history. In the Old Testament, Gentiles were Israel's enemies. But now, when we come to New Testament, the gospel is preached even to the Gentiles, and they are called to Jesus and heaven to be the sons of God. Looking at the Colossians, they were Gentiles, but Apostle Paul now sees them as brothers who belong to Jesus and heaven and commands them to act with wisdom toward outsiders. He also commands us to use every opportunity to act with wisdom, not only to those who are close to us now, but also to those who reject Christianity, do not want to be close to us, and still want to live as outsiders. He tells us to participate in the life of Jesus up to this point. What specifically is wisdom referring to here? To be wise and act wisely even in relationship with non-believers? Is that what Paul commands? No, the wisdom spoken of in the Bible is not our wisdom or the wisdom of the world, but the wisdom of God. In other words, it is the Word of God and the Gospel, and it is our Jesus to whom the Gospel testifies. Apostle Paul also continues to teach us about wisdom in Colossians. Colossians chapter 1 verses 27 and 28. To them God chose to make known how great among the Gentiles are the riches of the glory of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Him we proclaim, warning everyone and teaching everyone with all wisdom, that we may present everyone mature in Christ. Colossians chapter 2 verses 2 and 3. That their hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love, to reach all the riches of full assurance of understanding and the knowledge of God's mystery, which is Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. The mystery of the gospel is Jesus. Jesus is the wisdom, and all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge are hidden in him. Therefore, the command to conduct with wisdom toward outsiders means to conduct with Jesus in the gospel. The same command has already been given in Colossians chapter 3, verse 17. Colossians chapter 3 verse 17. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. In the name of Jesus, through Jesus' love and forgiveness, we testify of the hope of heaven that Jesus had and now gave to us. We are called to testify of Jesus by living the life of heavenly people who possess the life of Jesus, not only within the church, but also outside the church, not only in front of believers, but also in front of non-believers. If you go to verse 6, it tells us about what to say to outsiders. But true evangelism is to testify of Jesus not only with words, but with life. As we look at in the previous verse, we can testify of Jesus and walk with wisdom in any situation. Even though we are sick and in pain, we can walk with wisdom by holding on to the love of God, the grace of Jesus, and the hope of heaven until the end, and persevere with joy. Even if we are poor, we can walk with wisdom by boasting about the riches of heaven given by Jesus and living joyfully as sons of God. Even if we live in hardship and persecution, we can act with wisdom by rejoicing in our participation in Jesus' suffering and by testifying to the end of Jesus' love and forgiveness even to those who persecute us. Even those who live with death close by may act with wisdom and testify of Jesus by living in hope while looking forward to the eternal joy they will have in Jesus in heaven. When we believers live lives bearing witness to Jesus with wisdom even toward outsiders, if there are those among them who look at us in wonder and ask us about what we believe or hope, we are told to give them an answer for our belief and hope. That is the word of verse 6, which is connected to verse 5. Let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how you ought to answer each person. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15 also says the same thing. But in your heart honor Christ as Lord as holy, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you, yet do it with gentleness and respect. In this way, God has called all of us believers to have the wisdom of the gospel and to live a life of witness to Jesus, not only ministers of the word, and those who have received a special calling bear witness to Jesus, but all saints are also called to a life of witness to Jesus. This is because all saints have been equally poured out by the Holy Spirit and all equally possess the life of Jesus. So our entire life can be evangelism. Evangelism is to become more like Jesus in our hearts, thoughts, words, and will, and to bear witness to Jesus in our lives. Evangelism is living by faith in heaven with the wisdom of the gospel. Evangelism is giving joyful answers to outsiders who want to know about the faith and hope we testify to. Apostle Paul's last words are that although not all saints are called to be gospel ministers, they must live as witnesses of Jesus in their lives. There is an interesting contrast here. In verse 3, when Paul asks for prayers for himself and the gospel ministers, he asks God to open the door for the word so that the mystery of Christ can be told. But in verse 6, he tells all saints to testify about Jesus, who is the wisdom. Even though the calling or position is different, whether it is preaching Jesus through the gospel ministry or answering the gospel by testifying of Jesus in life, we all walk with wisdom and participate in the life of Jesus. Lastly, Apostle Paul tells us to make the best use of time. In other words, use every opportunity given to testify of Jesus and make every opportunity to testify of the gospel. Dear saints, how are we using all the opportunities we are given? This does not mean that you should not work or take care of your family and just go out and preach Christ. This means that even your entire life should be a testimony of Jesus. Everything is to be done by faith. But if you listen carefully to the command to make the best use of the time, don't you see a sense of urgency? We look at the words about prayer in the previous verse. But why do we make the best use of our time and use every opportunity to testify of Jesus to outsiders? Because it is near that Jesus comes again. Because the day of final judgment is close. When that day comes, there will no longer be an opportunity to testify of Jesus to outsiders. We no longer have the opportunity to share the gospel with those who are close to us or those who are distant from us. Of course, God does everything. Just because we fail to evangelize or testify of Jesus, there is not one of God's chosen people who cannot be saved. Through the Holy Spirit, Jesus will reach the ends of the earth to seek and save all His chosen people. However, as I have already said, God calls us to participate in His heart and the work He accomplishes. God calls us to be sons like Jesus and is pleased to fulfill His good will through us. God's will is very clear. God wants us to rejoice with him in reality of heaven that Jesus accomplished. Furthermore, he wants us to be interested in outsiders as well. God wants us to let outsiders know about the eternal blessings we possess. Those who are rejoicing in Jesus, those who know and are grateful for the grace and blessings of the gospel, and those who are filled with the hope of heaven want to tell outsiders about Jesus and heaven and spread the gospel. How can I be the only one who has this good news? Dear saints, you don't have to go far. Start with your parents, children, siblings, friends, relatives, and colleagues who are still living as strangers to Jesus and heaven. Testify your faith with your lives, and when they ask about your joy and hope, tell them about Jesus and heaven. Not only that, but this is an era in which the church is not well received. Many people say they believe, but they leave the church. It is a time when the confession of faith disappears, and people want to believe according to their own opinions and do not want to live a life belonging to the church. Please react with wisdom and testify of Jesus, even to such people to come to Jesus, the head of his church, and live as members of his body. Where else but the church can we enjoy and testify to that blessed reality? This fulfills Jesus' commandment to love our enemies. There is no greater love than letting others know about Jesus. Of course, we are sorely lacking. Not only that, but the world will become more evil and will reject us even more when we testify of Jesus. They will get angry and even hate us. But God accomplishes everything. Let us trust in God and live with a desire to testify of Jesus according to our calling. If there are saints who are saved by the grace of God and enter heaven through our testimony, our joy will be complete, and they will become our reward and crown in heaven. Until that day, let us live joyfully with wisdom and testify to Jesus and heaven.